Well, it's good to see Danny Tong. He returned from Japan. Where's Danny? Danny, woo! Danny was in Kobe, Japan for almost a year. He was sent by the Crew Campus Ministry, and he was at a college campus in Kobe witnessing to the students there and trying to build relationship. And I think he's going to stay with us for next 2 months, and I think he may try to go back there. We'll see what happens, but good to see Danny. We have been going through the book of Leviticus, and I have not really heard a sermon series on Leviticus yet in my life. So this is something new for me as well, and then today is the last message on the book of Leviticus, and next Sunday we will move on to the book of Numbers. When I first read the book of Leviticus, I was honestly bored by all these animal sacrifices, clean and unclean things, and all the other strange rituals. But I was really intrigued and impressed by Leviticus chapter 25. It talks about the year of Jubilee, and I am still impressed with it. Let's read today's text, Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 1 through 12. The Lord said to Moses at Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'When you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the 7th year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your male and female servants, and the hired worker and temporary resident who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten. Count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself, or harvest the untended vines. For it is a jubilee and is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields." So by law, Israel was to have the 7th year as the year of Sabbath. They were not to work the land to produce crops. The land was to have a rest. And Israelites were to rest from farming as well. But on the 50th year, they were to have a super Sabbath called Jubilee. And since it is a Sabbath, you know, it means Sabbath in Hebrew literally means to stop. You stop and you take a break. You stop and you take a rest. So there is a concept of resting. Ancient societies were predominantly agricultural societies, not planting seeds, not working the ground, and not harvesting crops means that you have no work for the whole year. Throughout the year, Israelites were to take a rest, enjoy God's presence and the fellowship of other brothers and sisters. And resting in God and not doing work for the whole year meant that people had to trust God to provide food for them for the whole year. And that's not easy. That's not easy. Can you imagine not working, not having a job for a year, and trusting that God would provide for your needs? That's not easy. So the rest was meant to enjoy God's presence and provision. There is also restoration in Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee, all the people who have lost their family lands or family properties receive them back. People sold their land or property to pay back their debt. But in the year of Jubilee, people can regain the lost family properties or family lands. But the key practice, the key concept of Jubilee is that of release. Release. Jubilee meant release from slavery and release from your debt. If you had been sold as slaves to pay back your debt, in the year of Jubilee, you were released from your slavery. If you had a debt you could not pay back, in the year of Jubilee, all your debts were canceled. And so you were released from your debt. Now, if you have a high credit card debt, you know how burdensome it is to be under the pressure of debt. But the most important release was a spiritual one. And, you know, in my reading of Leviticus before, I've always just overlooked, I just passed by it without much thought. But this time, I noticed that this is important. God tells his people to begin the Jubilee year on the day of Yom Kippur, on the day of atonement. They were to sound the trumpet throughout the land to mark the beginning of the year of Jubilee. And as we have talked about before, on Yom Kippur, the whole nation confessed their sins and they received God's forgiveness. So this means that Israel was to start the year of Jubilee with a release, from their sins. I did not see this before. Until now, it was mainly the release of slavery and release of from your debt. But I realized that the release from slavery and release from debt is grounded on this spiritual release from your sins. And Prophet Isaiah captures the importance of this spiritual release in chapter 61. He speaks of the coming Messiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free," or to release the oppressed, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So the first release is a spiritual release from people's sins by the proclamation of the gospel. This spiritual release is followed by physical, economic, and social releases. And this is why it is the year of the Lord's favor. It is the year of Lord's grace. Jubilee can be summed up in three R's. Rest, restoration, and release. Rest, restoration, and release. So the whole nation rested in God. Through Yom Kippur, the relationship with God was restored. And when you canceled debt, and when slaves were freed, the relationship between people were restored. And there was liberty, release, as people were released from their sin, from slavery, and their debts. So because there were these three R's, rest, restoration, and release, there was a great joy and a great celebration throughout the whole year. Now, if you had been freed from 30, 40, 50 years of slavery, you could celebrate that for the whole year. You know, you'd be rejoicing and celebrating throughout the year and giving thanks to God. If you had been freed from a great debt that you could not pay in your lifetime, but your debts were canceled, surely you can take a whole year to rejoice and to celebrate and give thanks to God. Jubilee was the year of God's grace. It was a great reset. It was a new beginning for every single person in Israel. You can start afresh. You are given a new life to live. Now, imagine if there was no Jubilee year. The children will be saddled by the burden of their parents. The whole family would be forced into permanent poverty or permanent slavery. The greedy, rich, and powerful will keep accumulating lands and properties for themselves, as is happening today in our society. These arrangements of Jubilee prevented any family from being forced into permanent poverty and to prevent the accumulation of the greedy. The celebration of Jubilee looks back to the greatest event in the nation of Israel, the Exodus, the release from slavery in Egypt. So the release of sin, debt, and slavery in Jubilee is a celebration of release from slavery in Egypt. And it was the Lord who released Israel from Egypt by His grace. And by that same grace, people are now released from their sin, released from slavery, released from debt, whatever that binds them currently. So looking at the year of Jubilee, we see that salvation is not just about going to heaven after you die, but salvation means so much more. Salvation is not just about life on the other side, but also about a new life in the here and now. Salvation has consequences for our life and our society. Our spiritual release from sin and death should translate into release of physical, economic, and social injustices. And this is what the year of Jubilee tells us. If we are thankful for our release from sin, then we are to work toward physical healing, toward economic release, toward social release of many burdened people. Salvation affects and influences every aspect of our life, every fabric of our society. Salvation includes the cancellation of debt, gaining back the family land, and being freed from slavery. So salvation affects people to build more safe, just, clean, and livable society. Salvation is the infiltration of God's kingdom into our society, infiltration of God's future into our present. If God's reign were reflected in the financial industry, how would our banking laws be different? If God's reign were reflected in the housing market, how would the relationship between the landlord and tenants be different? If God's reign were reflected in our society, there would be an end to human trafficking. If God's reign were reflected among the nations, as Isaiah says, swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Guns will be beaten into farming tools. Nuclear weapons will be abolished. So salvation means movement, a movement toward more just banking laws, more just and fair landlord and tenant relationships, an end to human trafficking, protection of family farms from being taken over by greedy corporations, protection of the poor from the greedy and the rich. Salvation of God transforms our society to make it look more like God's kingdom. So Israel was commanded to celebrate this year of Jubilee every 50 years. Now I have a question for you. How many times in the entire history of Israel have they celebrated the year of Jubilee? Any guesses? How many times? You're right, Tom. Zero. Many scholars think that they've never celebrated the Jubilee, and there is no record of Israel ever celebrating a Jubilee, and not even the seventh sabbatical year. Because, you know, not working for a whole year is really tough. You know, trusting God to provide for your family without working a whole year, that's tough. So people never did it. It was never attempted. People didn't have enough faith or enough trust in God. It was ignored again and again. But in the New Testament, all the ideals of Jubilee are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes to his hometown, Nazareth, and he enters into a synagogue, and a roll of scripture is given to him, and he reads this text from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The same text that Isaiah talked about. Then he put the scroll back and he looked at all the people in synagogue and he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What Jesus was saying is that Jubilee is no longer a year and time, but Jubilee now is a person. The Jubilee is Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, all the ideals of Jubilee, rest, restoration, and release are possible. And in the ministry of Jesus, people were released from their spiritual bondage, from their sin, by listening to the good news that Jesus proclaimed. And Jesus cast out demons. Those were spiritual releases. But Jesus was not concerned only about the spiritual side of human beings. He was concerned about the whole human person. So our physical releases were also performed by Jesus. Jesus spent a lot of time and effort healing the physical sickness of human beings. So the whole person was set free. So in Jesus, there is rest, restoration, and release. And the work of Jesus was primarily about the spiritual release. And the spiritual release enables us to work for social and economic and other kinds of releases in our society. Now, though the year of Jubilee was never celebrated in Israel by his people, it is being practiced today by some Christians. Let me give you an example. In 2009, how many of you enjoy listening to U2? You know, Bono and U2, the band U2. Hey, all right, I love that band U2. Maybe you guys are a little too young, but I grew up listening to U2 music. It's a great music. They may be the most popular rock band in the world. Now, Bono is a Christian, and he used his fame to do something good. In 2009, Bono, the lead singer of U2, appeared on the cover of Time magazine along with Bill Gates and Melinda Gates. He was selected as the person of the year, mainly for his work to help the poor African countries. Bono and the activists from Jubilee 2000 movement. Jubilee 2000 is a network of activists from 40 different nations, and they wanted to help the poor nations of Africa. They started a nonprofit called DATA, Debt, AIDS, Trade, and Africa. It was formed to cancel the debts that many African countries owed to the rich nations, to adjust unfair trade rules that were not good for African nations, and to eliminate the epidemic of AIDS in Africa. And they were inspired by Leviticus 25, the year of Jubilee. That's what they wanted to see. So Bono went around the world meeting many political leaders. He met with Bush at the time. He met with other European leaders. And some of these powerful politicians agreed to the agenda of data. They agreed to cancel some debt and to change some unfair trading practices. So Bono and other Jubilee activists influenced these non-believers, non-Christian politicians to practice the year of Jubilee. Of course, you know, we can't really do that kind of work, you know, that kind of scale, but we can do things in small ways. As Jesus mentioned, maybe we can visit somebody in prison. We can help someone in need. We as a church can do something about poverty or illiteracy. So there's some things we can do to provide some sort of release, economic, social release for our society. And that's what Jubilee teaches us. You know, the most important work, the most important release is the spiritual release from bondage of sin and death. But it cannot just end there. It has to continue into a release of social and economic justices, releases from social and economic injustices. And that's what we as a church, we as Christians are called to do. Our salvation must translate into all the fabrics, all the areas of our society. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for releasing us through the gospel of Jesus Christ from bondage of sin and death. Lord, but let us not just keep all the spiritual blessings to ourselves. Let us share our blessings by working toward the release of people under economic injustice, under social injustices. Help us to practice the year of Jubilee in our context. May we share the blessing that you've given us with people around us, especially the poor, the marginalized, and the weak. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.